It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 341. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions or any suggestions for a future show topic. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. I have real good voicemail for tonight. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that is Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Facebook and Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show and facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. Well, let's kick things off. I have a voicemail, and then I have lots of techie things that I've been working on, solutions for clients, and I want to get into some details of some things that I've been doing that has saved my client. Just incredible things that I want to share with you, so when you run into this situation, you're going to be able to remember, you know what? Mike talked about this, and he has an answer to it. So I want to share some of those things with you. So first, give a listen to this double voicemail that I put together from a listener. He left two voicemails, and then I just placed them together.
Hey, Mike, this is Alan Nation from Seattle, Washington. Hey, I'm listening to show 339, and heard you talking about backups. I wanted to talk about a situation I ran into. I lost a Windows hard drive and had a backup of all my data, all my graphics files and other things like that. But I went to restore and realized that I did not back up the fonts file, the fonts directory in Windows. And so a reminder out there to everyone, that fonts directory, especially for designers, can be extremely critical if you've been working with lots of different fonts and you just put them right there in the fonts file. I was listening to shows 338 and listening to you talk about your laptop problems with the hard drive. And I want to strongly recommend going over to Podnuts and listening to the My Hard Drive Guide show. You'll learn a lot about what's happening with the hard drive, and you'll learn about not restarting the machine over and over again and listening to the hard drive crunch. He does a great job explaining all about hard drives and what you know when you listen to them and what's happening. So give that a try. That'll probably help you out diagnosing hard drives in the future. Thanks for the great show. Look forward to the next one.
That is a great idea. My Hard Drive Died is a really good show. I tell you, when I run into hard drive problems, two things. One, you often hear me talk about Crystal Disk Info. I run that. If it says it's going bad or going to be bad, that's it. Time to back up all the data, put a new hard drive in. That's it. Case closed. Hopefully, everybody's backing up everything. Now, he makes a very good point about backing up your fonts folder. Now, I grab that when I get an image of my system. I don't go out of my way to just back up that directory. I always back up. I use the Windows system image to do a full image of my system. And I only do that once a month, but every night I grab my documents folder, videos, music, I have special directories for the podcast, backups on my website, all the directories of data that is changing, that is important. I make sure that I have backed that up. Depending on what you're doing, you should add the fonts directory to your checklist. I mean, that's certainly something to look into. I don't go out of my way to back that up. Now, Mark in the chat, he updates a clone backup nightly. Now, on my Mac, I'm using the Time Machine backup that will automatically back up anytime anything's changing on a regular schedule. I have an external drive connected to that, and that's awesome. For the hard drive shows, I'm going to have a link to the show My Hard Drive Died, and that's Scott Moulton and with Steve Cherubino, and I definitely think that's it's worth listening to get more details on the hard drive. So, Alan, thank you so much for the voicemail. Now, a few things I also want to talk about, my website issues. And this is for MikeNation.net, MikeTechShow.com, some of the things that I've ran into in the past week. I always like to stay current on plugins, on WordPress, and I was a little behind on my WordPress, and I made sure that I upgraded to 3.04, and I went to the upgrade, but before I did that, I made sure that all my plugins were up to date. So I did that actually a couple weeks ago. Well, this weekend, there was an update to Share Any. Okay, this, and you'll notice this is now missing from my website. Once I did that, I could no longer log in to my website. I would just get error messages the minute that plugin was updated. It killed me. I couldn't log in. No matter what I did. So I made, you know, I started Googling, figured out what is the best way to handle this. And something I want to share, even though you can't log in via the GUI to get into your admin for WordPress, or I would say pretty much any content management software that you're using for your website, I think this would work. If you've updated some kind of an extension or some kind of a plugin and it's kept you from doing something or logging in, well, you usually can always connect via your FTP program. So I fired up FileZilla and I went in and I deleted the plugin directory from my website. So I went to the WP content, then I went to the themes, then I went to the plugins, and then I made sure that that plugin, and I deleted the directory. Now, before I deleted it, I downloaded it to an empty folder on my hard drive. I just created an extra folder. I downloaded it. Then I went in and deleted it. Instantly, everything worked, and I was able to log in. But that wasn't my only problem. I updated my theme, and I learned a valuable lesson. If you use a standard theme and you make changes to your header file or to any other PHP files that are part of the theme, make sure that you know exactly where to go to make those changes again, because guess what? When you update your theme, those files are overwritten. I know that makes sense now, and it makes sense as I say it, but when you go ahead and you just click, oh, update the theme, no problem. Well, that messed a couple things up. Luckily, I had good notes on the changes that I had made. There are only a couple changes. So luckily, I did have very good notes, and I was able to go in, and I was able to make those changes, and everything was able to work. Something else changed. So you got to be aware of this when you make a change like this, when you're doing your updates to your website. When the theme updated, it changed the fave icon again back to the default. So my fave icon, and that's the little picture of my head that you see when you go to my website, and if you're using Firefox or whatever browser you're using, you have that little picture that represents the website that you're going to. That's the fave icon file. And that changed. So I had to go back and I had to copy that again to the appropriate images directory of my theme folder. So what have we learned? You got to make sure that you're, if you're maintaining any website, that you're making good notes, that you're using very good backup plugins where they're automatically backing up all of your content and your website and making sure that they are compressed and then emailed to you. So you got to make sure that that's happening. And then you have to make sure that, why are you upgrading? So Barb, Citizen X in the chat, makes a great comment. Why? If it's not broke, why fix it? Why make the change? And I guess I was afraid that since I had made the change of the core version of WordPress, and I went from like 2.9, 2.9 dot whatever to 3.04, I thought that was a pretty big jump. And so I was afraid for the security and for just all kinds of possible issues that may occur. You always have to worry about WordPress because it's so popular. There's always vulnerabilities that you must be careful of. And so it's always good to remain current, so this way your website doesn't get hacked or someone starts defacing your website and your blog. And that's why I wanted to stay current. And if my theme was updated, well, I wanted to make sure there was no, you know, I'm not falling too far behind. So there's a delicate line between upgrading something that is working for you versus getting too far away from the update to where now you might be causing a problem down the road because you're going to be too far behind. So what you're going to have to do is make a decision for yourself. And the best thing is, before you upgrade, backup. And if you have a strong, you know you have a reliable backup, then you're going to feel a little more comfortable in applying some of these upgrades. But it's always scary when you're on your main website and you're doing this. So I just wanted to share all those things just to make sure that you have enough information and that if you do get in trouble, you know, a way around it, you can always FTP into your website and delete whatever changed. So that makes it easy. Just keep that all in mind while you're maintaining your blog and your website, whether it be a podcast or whatever you're doing. The next thing I want to mention, anybody who starts taking over and supporting a client that has Small Business Server, especially Small Business Server 2003, you're going to find that, at least I found, every one of the clients that I've taken over the IT support, Small Business Server was incorrectly set up, where the IT support before me did not move the Exchange database to the larger drive. They let it stay on C. Now, when you're starting out and maybe there's only a couple people and there's only a few emails, well, the email database is small and you could probably get away with that. But over time, as the email database grows and the information store grows, well, you only have a finite space on the C drive. And older servers that were set up a few years ago, the rule of thumb was to give C very little space because you weren't supposed to put any data on C. It was just for your operating system and nothing else. But even though that rule applied, people ignored that or forgot that and allowed data to be installed, and they didn't maintain keeping the larger partition or the larger drive for all the data. Now, I have a client that they're running out of space on C. This was a few weeks ago. And I know exactly what's going on. In the link, in the show notes tonight, there's a link to a great article that explains in detail how to move the Exchange store to a different disk and how you can start Exchange System Manager, locate the administrative group, open the properties of the storage group. And this is where you can change where the log files are stored. This is where you can go and to move the databases. All you have to do is open the properties of the store for the mailbox, for the public folder store. You can open the properties for that store, click on the database tab, and you can change the drive letter to where the databases are going to be stored. Now, I recommend something. Make sure you look at the exact path on the C drive for where the information store is. I recommend duplicating that path on the drive that you're going to move it to. It will preserve the same path, so it'll make sense when maybe not you, someone else is going to look for that database. They're going to be able to easily find it. It's going to be able to be easily maintained. So make sure the drive path, and then make sure the permissions are set properly. And then you can go in and make that change. I performed that change in a matter of minutes over a log me in session on the server one night after hours, and I got 10 gig back of space on the C drive. Not only did I get all the space back on C, but we were having occasional backup failures with Shadow Protect when it was going to back up the C drive because there was no space. Now, even though you're backing up, you still need space for the snapshot and for things happening with the backup software. So you have to make sure that you have the space, some space available. You can't get down to 10 meg available. So I went from literally under 100 meg available on C to having 10 gig available. The backups are now working perfectly every night. There's plenty of space. Performance is better. It is a much better situation now for my client. I still have another client that I got to schedule this for, that I got to move the database from the C drive to the drive that has more space. This will make you look like an IT god to your client when you go in there and you save them for A, if you run out of space, your exchange software, you're going to crash. You are prone to all kinds of errors and the server stopping. You don't want that to happen. And more, the work that I'm finding is I'm cleaning up the mess of the IT support that was before me. And that's where I'm finding a lot of work. And now, not only do I have the confidence of my client, knowing that I'm doing it right and I'm doing it the right way, but now they're going to feel confident in recommending me. So that's how you can grow your word of mouth. You can grow your business via referrals, via word of mouth. Because you've taken care of your client. You've done the right job. You've did it correctly. That's very, very important. And trust me, if you do a better job than the next guy, you will get the work. You will get the referrals. You will get more business. It's very important to know what you're doing. And if you don't, and you run into a situation where you don't, reach out for help. Ask. Get the right information. Okay? And then you're going to be able to take care of it and do a good job. Let's get to some email. And I've been sitting on this for a few weeks. Now I want to take this question on. And this is about a domain question. And it's by Randy. And he says, "Hey, Mike. Have become a big listener ever since I discovered your blogs about a year ago. I have just begun dabbling in client-server network configurations. I recently set up a Dell Dimension 4600 as a server, as a PDC. My question is, what is the easiest way to configure the client to connect to the PDC? What I did was go to the computer name tab Windows XP Pro and change the configuration from workgroup to domain. And the DNS suffix to the domain name. Is that the best way to configure this or anything easier? Actually, that is the way. And then you will be prompted for credentials, an account name and password that has the permission to add a system to the domain. That is exactly what you want to do. And then you want to enter the administrator password and name when prompted. Then it'll say, welcome to the domain, and it's going to ask you to reboot the computer. One other thing, the account I set up on the domain PDC, which is Windows Server 2003, and when he says PDC, that's Primary Domain Controller. And if you have a domain and it's the first domain and you've run Active Directory and you've run the program DC Promo and you now have Active Directory configured, that will take on the role, the first domain controller will take on the role as a primary domain controller. In the old days, you used to have to dub a machine to be the primary domain controller and then a backup domain controller, and you would always have one PDC and a couple BDCs. That was a little more complex in the NT4 world. I named Rez Kenazi. Does the account need to be the computer name of the XP machine, Randy, or can it be anything? Well, it can be anything. It struggled but eventually sold the XP machine. Any help you can provide is appreciated, and any literature online you can point me to would be helpful. We'll continue to be an avid listener, and you were on my iPod. Here's a couple things. Did you run DC Promo and go through all of the questions and make sure that that Windows 2003 server is now truly a domain controller? And if it is, then you create accounts. Once you create user accounts, now you went to your workstation and you added it to the domain. So I believe you did do that because you made that step. Here's something that a lot of people forget. Once you add a workstation to a domain, in XP, you have a drop-down box at the login. When you hit Control-Alt-Delete and you are prompted for the name and then the password, there's an option for more or for other. Click that and make sure you can show that, because in there you can log on to the machine itself, where it's the computer, which is the name of that computer, or the domain. And you want to make sure now that you're logging on the domain with the account that you created on the domain. Now, something to be careful, and in a small network, if you log on and you just have user rights on the computer, you're not going to be able to add software. You're not going to be able to do a few things. And that may be what you want. But if you want full control of that computer and you're logging on an account, you may have to go to an extra step. You may need to log on to the workstation as the domain administrator and then go into the local administrators group and add the user. So that's another way of making sure that a user that's logging in has full control of the machine, but not the domain. Now we're getting real complicated. Another thing, the key to any network and any Active Directory network is to make sure that DNS is set up correctly. And it is an art. It truly is. You must read up on this. I am not going to be able to solve installing DNS correctly and making it a DNS Active Directory integrated domain controller. I will not be able to do it in the short term of this podcast, but I will try to point you to the right place. Things that Winston just mentioned, the DC promo takes care of that. Not all the time. As a matter of fact, when you're setting that up, you got to make sure that your DNS forwarders are set up correctly and that you have the proper IP addresses for doing forwarding in your DNS. This is a problem I've seen on a lot of installs and a lot of poorly installed, where if DNS is not set up correctly, there's a great way of telling that. A workstation will take forever to try to authenticate on the domain and to try to connect to the domain. If you just sit there and networking is taking forever and ever on a workstation, then I can almost guarantee you that there is a DNS problem. And then that gets a little hairy to start diagnosing and to start going through. If you follow the directions, if you take the time for each of the prompts when you're asked, and even if you're doing it for the first time and you're just trying to learn, make sure you have another workstation that can get to the internet and start Googling all those options before you answer the question. So this way you can learn, hey, it's asking me, do I have multiple trees in the forest? Whatever it's asking, you know, Google that on another machine and try to figure out, you know, I only have one domain controller, so I only have one domain. I only have one forest, and this is the first domain controller. So it's a great way to learn. A lot of people always ask me, how do I learn about this? A great way is to practice, and you got to try it. And you know what? You have to try it, and you have to fail sometimes and then come back and correct it, start over again, and that's how you're going to learn. Trust me, it's the best way to learn is working this out yourself. So rather than on a client or, you know, your employer, you don't want to play with this in that kind of a situation. You want to be in an isolated lab environment or be on a private network at home where you can test this out and take it for a test drive, play with running DC promo and coming up with a domain, you know, your own domain controller. In the chat, they're mentioning virtual machines. That's a great way of setting up multiple servers, multiple workstations, and have them talk and have just a couple big boxes with lots of virtual sessions, because it's easier to break down and start over again too. Take advantage of VMware Server, which is free. You just have to have lots of processor and a stack of memory, and you don't need as much as you think, especially if you're not going to tax these virtual sessions. I have one more utility I want to talk about, then we're going to wrap up. This utility was recommended to me, and I talked about it on Computer America on Friday night, but in case you didn't listen to it and catch that show, this was a big help in diagnosing the MX records and DNS setup for a client, and it's called NS Hookup. It will allow you to query the authoritative records of a domain and get exactly the way they are configured. If you need all of the detailed information on a domain, what is the MX records? What are they? What are all the A records? What's the website pointing to? What IP address? And you want to go right to the authoritative place and of that domain. This is the utility. It's a standalone utility. It's an easy download. And I believe it is now a must to be placed on your USB toolkit, your whatever drive, whatever portable drive that you take with you when you're consulting. This utility is now another one to be added. I want to take a moment and thank everyone who has been continuing to use my Amazon link. And if you haven't, you're like, what Amazon link? What do you mean, Mike? Well, if you go to MikeTechShow.com, on the left-hand side of the website, you'll see a link for back to go to Amazon. No matter what you're purchasing, go there, click on that link, and then you can go anywhere you want on Amazon's site. Whatever you buy, a commission will be sent to me. I'll get it 2 months later, but that's okay. You help support the show. And that's very, very important. And I really appreciate that. And I thank you for everybody who is doing that. It only takes a second to click on that link and supporting the show. Thank you so very, very much. I really appreciate it. The final music for the end of the show here. This is a cover of a great song by Tom Petty, but it's not Tom Petty. It's my favorite band, Pearl Jam. Give a listen to this, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
Well, I won't back down. Well, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I stand my ground. And I won't back down. No, I stand my ground. No, I won't be turned around. In a world that keeps on dragging me down, I won't stand my ground. And I won't back down.
Pearl Jam doing I Won't Back Down from Tom Petty, and that is from they have a 6 CD, is it? I'm trying to think how many CDs it is. It was a whole bunch of CDs from the Live at the Gorge. I'm going to have a link to them where you can get them on from Amazon, I believe, and you can also buy them, of course, from the 10 Club, from the bootlegs that Pearl Jam sells. And I highly recommend Pearl Jam Live. Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right, that is it for tonight's show. I want to thank you all for everybody who was here live and watching, and please stay tuned for the post show. And before I close out, I had a surprise show on Saturday. If you haven't caught it, make sure to take a look in your podcatcher, and you'll notice that not only was there show 339 last Thursday, but also I did a great show on Saturday with a guest, and the guest was Norbert Davis from the Totally Cool Tech Podcast. We had a great time talking about the blue screen of death and what to do about it. That's it. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.